Blog Talk Radio.
We now know that there is a powerful causal link between the spiritual life and the physical life. We know that there is a powerful interaction at play, and therefore we have come to understand through painstaking research that it is the spiritual part of the individual that is at the foundation of one's quality of life. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and I am your host on Pneumaticos. Today's episode is entitled, Stop Being a Hostage to Hostility. God can set you free. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Very interesting verse. That has a lot to say about our particular topic today. So, one of the reasons why I enjoy the Hebrew language is because Hebrew word pictures are concrete. Hebrew is a concrete language, and so. I enjoy the imagery of the language. There are powerful word pictures here for us. And in a few moments, I'm going to share with you from the book of Nahum and another picture about the Lord and his attitude in the midst of a particular situation. Very interesting word pictures. So, in verse 24, we're told, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Now, this is the way, or here's the way it reads in the Greek, in the Hebrew. Do not feed with a lord of anger. Do not feed with a lord of anger. Now, the word here for lord, as used in the text, is Baal. And Baal was one of the indigenous deities of the land of Canaan. So the term Baal means lord or master, as the case may be. And so the Hebrew says, once again, do not feed with a lord of anger and with a man of fury. Do not go, lest you learn his path and take a snare for your soul. We can also read it this way. Do not feed with a possessor of anger. The Hebrew also has it in this way. The Hebrew, instead of saying a lord of anger, one can say Baal of Ash. Baal of Now, in the Hebrew language, anger was centered in the nose, in one's nose. And so, to be short of nose represented anger. And here, the Lord of Anger, or the Baal of Ash, means Lord of Hot of Nose. So it is a picture of anger to be hot of nose. I want you to understand this because we are breath. We are nephesh. We say soul, nephesh. And so as nephesh or soul or breath, as it were, notice that the individual who is angry or who is hostile on this level cannot breathe in an appropriate manner. His heart raised, it's elevated, gets excited, and this individual or the hostile individual let others know what is going on in his soul through offense, through rage offense, in which he allows others or shares with others his attitude. Because this is an attitude. It is a subtle attitude, a subtle way of being. It is dangerous to the individual who is mired or who is a hostage to hostility and to those within his periphery. So, in a book entitled Deadly Emotions by Dr. Don Colbert, M.D., he writes, well, he gives his definition of hostility. He writes, technically, hostility is defined as a feeling of enmity, ill will, unfriendliness, etc., antagonism. It is an abiding long-term state, something of a perpetual worldview. A hostile person is likely to get angry and become excessively irritated over trivial circumstances that would not upset most other people. Cardiologist Dr. Robert Elliott has described the hostile person as a hot reactor who burns a dollar's worth of energy for a dime's worth of stress. He wastes $5 worth of energy on a 2 cent. But notice the language that Dr. Colbert uses. He says that cardiologist Dr. Robert Elliott described a hostile person as a hot reactor who burns a dollar's worth of energy for a dime's worth of stress. And so the ancient clinical wisdom that we're discussing today is contemporary. So here in Proverbs in chapter 22, verse 24, once again, do not feed with the Lord of anger. And so feed means to eat, to sit at table with, for a prolonged period of time, to be in contact with, to be in fellowship with, to be around, to spend time with. There is a contagion in play. Notice the language in verse 25, do not associate with one easily angered. And notice the language. Do not associate, this is at the end of verse 24, do not associate with one easily angered. Again, Dr. Colbert writes, a hostile person is likely to get angry and become excessively irritated over trivial circumstances that would not upset other people. Proverbs 22:24 reads, do not associate with one easily angered. The language is almost similar. And so we can see that here the biblical materials have captured a very precise understanding of hostility, one given to hostility, a lord of anger, a bale of ass, or a lord of hot of nose. So here's an individual who can most certainly be very withering and destructive things. Jesus said, it is what comes out of an individual that defiles him or that pollutes him. The book of James, there is an entire chapter almost devoted to a clinical understanding of of the tongue and what it can do. Now, just think of this combination. A man or an individual who is hot of nose or hostile under the most, and who displays his hostility under the most trivial of circumstances. And what would come out of his or her mouth? And so you and I know that this individual cannot have a stable spiritual life. Now, he or she may insist that that he or she has a stable spiritual life, but you know from the actions that this is not true. In Hebrew culture, it is one's action that displays faith, not about what one says. I read an article recently by an individual, by a believer who had traveled to, who was in Jerusalem, and he was approached by a person from Israel who said, that I don't understand something about your belief of Christianity. And this individual from Israel who approached this believer said, what do I care about what you say when I watch what you do? And the verb do is powerful. And so this is what we are looking at in this chapter. It is what one does that tells us who he or she is. It is the action, not through what is said. It is the action. And please don't get hypnotized by the words or what an individual says. Watch the action. Watch the action. The Lord Jesus always said, follow me. Follow me. And do so as a habit of life. Now, we can one can also do an anger genogram. In an anger genogram, one can look back three generations. So we can look at the person's present tense, we can look at the father and the grandfather, and we can follow a pattern. And we can get certain information that we will put in the genogram, and we can see a history or a pattern of a particular type of hostility. We can track hostility. So there is, to the sins of fathers. If this individual who is given to hostility is a believing one, then he or she must stop being hostage to hostility. This individual must understand that God can set free. But understand beneath this, there is a volition, and it is through an act of the will that an attitude is changed, but it is volition that is at work. And also, there is a great deal of intrinsic pride. And we are told in this in Proverbs that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride faces destruction, and a haughty spirit before all. So, this is what, Doctor, about 20% of the general population have levels of hostility that are high enough to be dangerous to their health. That's 1 in 5. So, at the beginning of chapter 4 of his book, Deadly Emotions, Understanding the Mind-Body-Spirit Connection That Can Heal or Destroy You, Dr. Colbert writes, years ago, a pastor came to me. Carl was on 3 blood pressure medications that were not working as a treatment for his hypertension. He had been to a number of doctors, none of whom had found the key for bringing his alarmingly high blood pressure under consistent. Carl's condition was erratic. At times, his blood pressure was normal, but in a flash, it could jump off the charts, registering systolic levels over 200. Less than 140 is normal, and diastolic levels of over 130. Less than 90 is normal. In my practice, my staff and I take time to sit down with patients such as Carl to see if there is an emotional event that might be triggering a particular illness condition. Again and again, we found that emotional upheaval appears to be linked directly to disease. At other times, physical factors are at the root or part of the cause. Carl was not obese, so there was no clear-cut cause for his hypertension. When I sat down with Carl, I questioned him specifically about events that may have been present in his life at the time his physician first diagnosed him with blood pressure problems. He told me that he had lost his ministerial position after a particularly vicious split in the church. He left the position with enormous anger at individuals he perceived to have seized control of church. I wasn't surprised at what Carl told me. Through the years, I've discovered that pastors and other full-time Christian and charitable workers often have difficulty in forgiving those they believe have hurt them or erred spiritually. This is very critical and very serious. This is a marvelous case study. Many of these individuals are deeply sensitive, caring people who are wounded deeply, and they feel they have been misjudged, unfairly criticized, or blamed or falsely accused, rather than vent the fact that they are wounded, they internalize their feelings and allow them to seep into a seething mix of anger and hostility. I discussed with Carl his medical need to forgive those who had hurt him. I was not prepared for him to boil over in nearly instant rage, like an erupting volcano. He let out a scream so loud the entire office heard him. Carl's angry screams continued unbroken for quite a long time, punctuated by strong statements of hatred for those who had robbed him of his church and had demeaned his value as a pastor. When he finally became more quiet, having fully vented his pent-up emotions for perhaps the first time since he left the pastorate several years earlier. Note, several years earlier. So now we see that his condition was chronic. He told me he knew that he needed to forgive, intellectually he knew, and that he finally felt that he could. Carl began to voice words of forgiveness for the individual people he had been holding hostage in the prison of his heart. Very important. You and I know people who hold individuals hostage in the prison of their hearts too. See, we may hold them prisoner in our hearts, which means that we have not forgiven them. And Jesus said that we would be cast into the dungeon too, along with those we have cast in the dungeon of our hearts, that is, into the dungeon of unforgiveness. We will be there with them. We will be joined to them. This is why we are enjoined by the Lord Jesus to release, shame, to release person of a debt that cannot be repaid. That is the meaning, literal meaning of forgiveness. Now, at Stanford University, there is an individual who has what is called the Stanford Forgiveness Project. Go and read the marvelous work that is being done. Go and read about that marvelous work and how essential forgiveness is. Look what unforgiveness had done to this individual. Now we know that that's not his real name, but this is a real story. This is his narrative. This is a living event. He lived this. He lived in this hellish, the hellish hostage to hostility. There's no peace in his life. There's no love. There's no joy. There's not the peace of God that passes understanding. This is the difference between religion and what it means to really follow, to really internalize the Word of God. So, Carl began to voice words of forgiveness toward the individual people he had been holding hostage in the prison of his heart. Within 15 minutes of doing this, his blood pressure, which had been 220 over 130, 220 over 130, he came in, plummeted to 160 over 100. He was going back to normal levels, which would be 140 is normal for the top number, and the bottom number less than 90. So notice what was this positive event that was going on in his life. His face, which had been almost contorted into a harsh scowl that seemed chiseled into his features, had relaxed to the point that he looked like a different man. Now, his face, which had been almost contorted into a harsh scowl that seemed chiseled into his face. This is his spirit. His spirit was manifesting what was going on inside of him. So his spirit needed the power of God. His spirit was fragmented. He was unfocused. Well, he was focused on his loss. And he had made an idol of his unforgiveness. And this is what Jeremiah meant. This is what Ezekiel talked about. Isaiah talked about idols. Here is was an idol of the heart. He was holding on to this idol. And in the Hebrew language, the word idol means, guess what? Nothingness. Carl's life was wrapped around a very powerful nothingness. But it was an idolatry that was poisoning him. It was an idolatry that held him hostage. God wants us to be set free. God wants us to live. Jesus said in John 10, I am come that they may have life in superabundance. He is the God of whom Paul writes, who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask for. Who are you holding on to? Who are you holding on to? What prison have you made for yourself? You can be released. You have to release the person you have imprisoned in your heart. You have to release so you can be set free. And go out in real life so you can enjoy sun upon your skin. You can enjoy a sunny day. You can enjoy laughter. You can once again enjoy food. And your palate would be restored. You can say wonderful things to people. You can touch others physically and enjoy touch once again. Go before God in prayer. Talk to God about what is going on. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't want to be a bale of wrath. You don't want to be a lord of pain. You don't want to be a lord of hot of nothing. You want your breath. You want to fill your lungs once again. You don't want to merely live on subsistence breathing. It's a very shallow type of breathing. You want to take in life deep. You want your life forward. My name is Dr. Cy Rich. God bless you.